Hello, I'm Robert Bernson, and this is the Inline Planets. My guest today is Joey Mantia, who has just returned from the World Speed Skating Championships in South Korea, where he once again proved himself to be the best men's skater in the world. Not only did he win 4 gold medals, 2 silvers, and a bronze, more than any other skater, but he set 3 new world records in distances ranging from 500 to 20,000 meters. Joey Mantia, welcome back to the Inline Planet.
Thank you.
It's great to have you here. It was lots of fun watching your success this year at the World Championships.
Thank you. It was fun having success at the World Championships, to be honest.
What was your high point at the World Championships this year?
For me, of course, 3 world records and 4 gold medals. Nice. Coming home with that, you know, some hardware. Really, everything was really nice at Worlds this year. The venue was really good. They had a tent for us that was air-conditioned for the athletes. And
wow.
Overall, it was just really nice. And, like, the medals are the nicest medals I've ever seen. And the championship jerseys that you win for first place and senior, they're just really, really nice. So I was really pleased with this Worlds this year.
What are you going to do with your medals this year? You often give them away.
I'm going to keep these. I'm going to get shadow boxes for them. I got to remember this year. You know, a lot happened this year, and I'm going to go to the trophy shop and put them in shadow boxes and do something nice with them.
You've been competing now for how many years?
This will be number 11, I think. I started a 95-96 season.
And, you know, a number of those years were really at high levels. How long ago was your first Worlds as a junior?
Belgium, I think, was in 2002, if I remember correctly. Or 2001.
Do you still get nervous before races?
To be honest, I get way more nervous before indoor races. This year, indoor nationals, I threw up a couple times, and I've kind of been known to do that from, you know, the past couple of years. I get nervous and I just let it loose. But yeah, for Worlds it's really weird, strange. I get on the line, I'm not really that nervous. I know what I gotta do. Plus the caliber of skater at Worlds, you know, it's, you know, you're skating against the best in the world. You know, everybody's there.
Yeah.
So that be in the back of your mind, you know, if you fail perform, it's not as quite as bad as if you go to a league meet and, you know, you get beat. For me,
was there one race this year that really stuck out in your mind at Worlds?
They were all amazing races, even the ones I didn't win. I had a lot of fun. The 1000, of course, sticks out in my mind as an opportunity that was stolen from me, I think. Whenever somebody asked me if I would have won the race, you know, I know you don't know. You know, it didn't happen that way, so there's no way to tell whether I would have won or not. But I feel like the opportunity to win was taken from me.
Mm-hmm. Would you describe that race? In that race, you were racing, your two main competitors in the race were Jorge Botero and Jorge Cifuentes, both Colombians. Mm-hmm. And you got a lot of interference from Jorge Cifuentes. What
right.
was that race like for you?
Going in with those two guys in the race, I know both of them are really physical skaters and not necessarily cheaters, but I knew going in that they were really physical and I had to be careful. And from the get-go, I had a good start, I was in the front, and I had a couple people pass up. But for me, I had good position throughout the whole race except for when I tried to pass and couldn't get around. I think it was like 1.5 to go. I tried to throw the first pass on both of them at the same time. So Fuentes just took a left, you know, from the outside of the track and almost put me in the infield.
He bumped you with his hip, didn't he?
He pushed me with his hand, his hip. I mean, he made a lot of contact and mm-hmm. he was definitely physical. He used his hands. And the next straightaway, you know, that took a lot of my speed, so.
But you were able to stay on the track after that first big bump.
Yeah, I was able to stay on the track. Of course, stuff like that takes your legs out of you a little bit. So by the end of the race, after all the stuff that went on, I was really, really, really tired and couldn't quite make it to the line to pass Jorge Botero. But, you know, that's the way the cookie crumbles and you learn from it and move on.
It looked like, aside from that bump, it looked like, I believe, maybe a lap and a half later, that Jorge Cifuentes again grabbed you when you were trying to go around him on the inside.
Right. After the first time, I knew I had to play the same game if I wanted to make a pass. So I tried to come by both of them. He moved over, tried to do the same thing, and I gave him a nice little push to the outside. And by that time, he was already out of the race. I think they already had the DQ up, so I didn't get anything for that. But, you know, I did what I could, and sometimes it doesn't work out for you.
Now, in looking at tapes of that race, it looks like then finally around the final turn, you were on the inside lane, and
right.
Jorge Botero was in the center of the track, and he came over into your lane and finished on the inside lane in front
right.
of you, and you kind of then quickly jumped to the outside and finished on the outside of the track in front of Jorge Cifuentes.
Right. Yeah, that's another thing that's kind of been shady about this world for me is the consistency of calls. They're not being consistent with how they call the races, for me, at least in my eyes. And I know, you know, the refs have a hard job, and you know, it's not always easy as everybody thinks it is. But for one race, they'll disqualify or declassify somebody for changing tracks, whereas the next race, somebody does the same thing and it slides. I don't know if it's biased or not, or if they didn't see it, but to me, it was just inconsistent. But yeah, he did move over a little bit. To be honest, I don't know. I don't think I could have passed him either way. I was really, really tired. I didn't have the legs in me. I was barely making it to the line. And when he moved over, I just tried to hop over to the other side and hawk, but I had nothing left.
Mm-hmm. What was the marathon like? You, of course, won the marathon, but it was so different than last year. This year, you had a really strong field. A bunch of the best Italian marathoners, including Max Presti and Roger
right.
Snyder, was in the race. It looked like the Swiss team was very strong. And, of course, the Colombians, who were your kind of main competitors in last year's World Championships, were also had a strong team led by Jorge
right.
Botero.
Right.
But this year it was in the rain and with a really strong field. What was that like?
Waking up in the morning, I looked out the window, saw that it was wet, and kind of, you know, knew to myself, I was like, this isn't going to be a good day for me. So that being said, it could have been blessing in disguise because I was really relaxed the whole day, not really thinking about the race, because in the back of my mind, I'm thinking the whole time, you know, I'm just going to try to finish this thing. I don't know. But the field sprint or anything, I'm just gonna try to make it as far as I can and do what I can do and not give up and not quit the race. So, like I said, I was really relaxed the whole time. The race itself, of course, was really, really wet. The road was slick, and for somebody like me who skates with a lot of power, it's hard to skate on stuff like that. And, you know, it's just tiring because you got to keep fast cadence the whole time and light step, and you really got to think about what you're doing. But throughout the whole race, I was hurting pretty bad. I told my teammates a couple of times that I was tired and I wasn't sure if I had it at the end. And I don't know, the last couple of laps, I just kind of pulled my head up and started talking to myself into it. You know, I was like, I can do this. Maybe I can put myself in the right position to have a good finish. And I found my teammates. It's actually, I think it was lined up as Jonathan Garcia, Sebastian Cano, and Dane Lewis in the last 1.5, 2 laps to go. And they did a really good job keeping me in the front. Dane Lewis did an amazing lead out and helped me for the victory. In the rain, all you have is your momentum. You can't really accelerate too much. And coming in the last straightaway, we had a lot of momentum coming, and we just kept that speed, didn't slow down. I think that was the key to the success in that marathon, was that in the last straightaway. Once we started accelerating, we just kept going and going and going and going, even though we were 800 meters out from the finish line. And then Dane pulled over with about 400, 500 meters to go, and I let it all the way in. And just an amazing victory for me. A good feeling.
With all the water on the ground and the road being so slick, there were quite a few falls in the race. Did you have any close calls?
Tons. There was huge white lines all over the place, and if you didn't keep your head up, you know, all the time, you hit one of those things, you're almost sure to go down. So once I was looking back and hit a big white diamond and really came close to eating it. And then throughout every intersection, there was the big thick white lines, and I almost fell on those about every lap. So I was having a hard time staying on my feet, but somehow managed to. So that was good for me. I'm happy about that.
Was it Sebastian Cano who fell at the end of the race?
John O'Gorman.
John O'Gorman.
Yeah, he came up. He had a lot of speed. I think he would have done really well in the finish, provided he was staying on his feet. But yeah, he had an unfortunate little spill at the end and slid for a good 25 feet.
Yeah, that was quite a slide. It must have really been a smooth course.
Yeah, it wasn't bad. I mean, that's one nice thing about that course was didn't do too bad on your shins. It wasn't very bumpy. So that was good for me.
You won really all the longer distance races pretty much.
Right.
Do you consider yourself now to be a specialist in the longer distances?
Definitely not. I'm still definitely an all-around skater, and Jordan Malone once said it, distance skater that can go fast.
What's next for you, Joey?
I'm going to Duluth on Thursday. Hopefully the weather's good, and after that come home for a couple days, and I think I'm going to go to the national camp. That's about 2.5 weeks away. And probably going to make a little vacation trip to North Carolina, hang out with Michael Cheek, and just have a little vacation for me. Keep my skates on and, work on my base, but nothing too hard. And then, just start with the basics, going back to form work and starting the season over.
When you say stay on your skates, you mean even on vacation you'll be skating most days?
Oh, of course. For me, it's essential to skate almost every day. I love it so much. I got to put my skates on, and I think that's why I've been in the sport so long now. It doesn't get old, and I just love doing it.
And I understand you're planning to move to Washington later this year.
That's correct.
What's that about?
I have an opportunity to go work in the office doing graphic design. I do a little bit of it now for him, but I'd like to go into the office, get on the payroll, and just have a good atmosphere. And with a job like that, it'll be nice because I can go off and train whenever I need to. They're totally understanding, obviously. They sponsor me, so.
That's Lugino.
That's correct. Yes.
The Lugino office. What town is that in?
That is in Olympia, Washington.
Now, being in Washington, you're gonna have a lot of rain up there.
I'm keeping my house in Florida. My dad's going to keep the house here, and so I'm only a plane ticket away from good training weather, mm-hmm. which for me isn't a big deal. And as far as Washington goes, it does rain a lot, but if you have a flexible schedule like I'm going to have working in the office, then if I can go out and skate when I need to, if it's not raining, then that's no problem for me. Plus, there's probably 4 or 5 good indoor rinks within 60 miles that I can skate when I'm there.
In Florida, you've, of course, been, a member of Team Florida for, since mm-hmm. you were 9, so that's 11 years now?
That's correct.
Then are you going to join a new team in Washington?
I am going to be skating for Pattison's next year.
And they're based in what town?
Federal Way.
Do you plan on, doing what you did in Florida, which is attending regular practices? And
of course, I'm really cool with the coaches there and the rink owners. So that being said, I'm sure I can get some private time if I need to and go train. So that's not an issue for me. I know, me personally, I like to go do a lot of stuff on my own and be out there and just spend a lot of time on form, especially this time of the year. So I think it'll be a good opportunity for me to be able to get all the time I need in. And also, they have a really good team up there, a lot of depth. It's fun to be a practice. There's always at least 40 skaters there. They're always enthusiastic about skating, so for me it'll be a good change. Not saying that Team Florida is bad. It's an amazing team, and I've had a ton of success with Renee, but she's kind of, you know,
Renee Hildebrand,
yeah, she's kind of retiring this year, so and Brittany's moving, Emily's moving back to Missouri, Shaughnessy Sutter moved. You know, for me, it's just I gotta kind of make a move and, you know, adapt, change life.
What are your plans for next year?
My plans are, you know, go work in the office, skate indoor, go to a lot of indoor meets and try to help build the sport indoor. I think is a really important thing for me to do next year. I want to do some clinics, indoor and outdoor. I'm probably going to do a lot of U.S. marathons. Really, I want to focus on a lot of U.S. races. I think it's important to support what we have back home, try to grow the sport in the United States. You know, of course, in Europe, it's really big. In Switzerland, they have a lot of good World Cup marathons. But I think it's important to stay home and, you know, don't forget where you come from and help out here.
And then you'll be competing, then at least you plan on competing again in indoor and outdoor nationals next year and preparing for another spot on the world team?
Yep, everything goes as planned. I'm going to Worlds next year and hopefully have a very successful Worlds, which is really the main focus of my season every year is World Championships.
What about ice?
Moving to Washington, I'll have the opportunity to skate a little bit of short track. Probably about 2 or 3 times a week, just start a base to get used to the ice. I don't think it'll hurt anything, and nothing is set in stone right now. I know I mentioned a lot about skating 2010 Olympics, and whether that happens or not, I don't know. It's always going to be opportunity. It's always going to be there if I want to do it. It's just a matter of, like I said, what I want to do at the time. Right now, I'm kind of just living day by day, and for me, it's, I don't know, it's easier that way.
Do you have a favorite story of something that happened up there or over there that maybe you haven't, we haven't talked about yet?
Yeah, actually, we talked a little bit about the 500 meter and how I was in the semifinal and got taken out because of the classification for what I think was a bad call, or at least a inconsistent call with the heat before. And as they were doing the protest, I think we had a protest, Italy had a protest, and also Colombia had a protest for, you know, what they were trying to say, what they were trying to do. So there was about 35, 40 minutes, if not more, between the senior ladies 500 meter final and senior men, because they were trying to do all the protests and everything. During that time, I decided, because they were putting me in the final, they were taking me out, and I felt as if I was cheated out of the opportunity once more to, you know, be able to race for a gold medal. I went and got my skates and my uniform, put them on, went on the track, and the whole crowd went nuts. Everybody was chanting my name as I came around, and it was really cool for me. You know, even though I didn't get to skate the final, that was a really cool experience. I mean, every country, all the skaters were banging on the walls as I was skating on the track, just warming up, and it was pretty cool.
Well, Joey, I just want to thank you for taking this time to talk with us.
Thank you.
That's all we've got time for today, but come back soon for another slice of the Inline Planet.